B-Pod Studios.
Get the app.
Check this out.
Get Boston's home for sports at your fingertips. Listen live or download a podcast. 98.5 The Sports Hub. That's an app. This is the home of the Bruins, the Celtics, and these guys. Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Around the NFL.
Over in his hands.
In 15 minutes.
You play to win the game.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, a big slate of games yesterday. What went on?
Well, Tom Brady is still really, really, really good.
Here's the snap to Brady, a little low. Brady picks it up, looks upfield. He looks. Passes toward the end zone. Caught ball. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Great throw, Brady. And a remarkable catch by Tyler Johnson. The rookie has his first TD.
Now, as good as Brady was yesterday, his defense was even better. I mean, that team's starting to get scary. They made Aaron Rodgers look pedestrian. The Bucs end up winning 38-10 over the Packers. And if watching Brady embarrass defenses doesn't make you feel nostalgic, then maybe this will.
Here's the snap on third and six. Lob pass toward the end zone. Gronkowski, he makes the catch. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. What a great grab by Gronk. Holy guacamole. The Bucs score a touchdown with a minute two to go.
He's been holding on to that for 5 weeks.
Yeah, and you should have heard the dude from the NFL Network during his highlights yesterday jump all over that and go, look out for Gronkamole coming to your new store. And you're like, ugh.
Tom Brady, Tom Brady only 168 yards, two touchdowns. I mean, it was good.
Are you really going to knock how he looks? He looked really good
I'm
yesterday.
Just stating the fact, 168 yards, he looked better than the numbers show.
The offense, well-oiled.
By the way, no turnovers, no penalties whatsoever for that team yesterday.
Yes, no penalties, and it was the first time since, like, they wore orange uniforms that it was.
And I believe that even after yesterday, they're still the most penalized team in the league. I believe even after yesterday's great, that's how bad of a shape that they were in before that. I might be wrong. I might have changed, but I think I saw that yesterday. But Gronk right there scores his first touchdown since 2018. He looked dialed in yesterday. Welcome to the team. It took him a few weeks, but things continue to move in the right direction for Mr. Tampa Bay.
It's funny. I heard analysis of Gronkowski, and they're like, well, I thought with the year off that he was going to come back. I think it might have been during the game, but I thought with the year off he was going to come back and be in really good shape and rested. But you know, he was out there doing wrestling, he was doing all that stuff. Shut up! What he was doing so much? Go screw! Oh yeah, he really wore himself out.
Failed at everything.
He didn't fail at everything. He got a major market network job on Fox. He was in wrestling.
Well, in fairness, he
failed, but he was in WrestleMania, which, Joe, I know how big of a deal that is for you. So he got a million endorsements.
Well, he did fail on Fox.
He didn't fail on Fox.
He had to come back to football.
No, he did. They kind of
wanted to come back to football.
They kind of pushed him to the side on Fox. I will say that. I don't know, but hey, he failed at wrestling. Good luck.
He hosted on Fox the New Year's Eve thing. Remember with Gronky Kong?
So they were finding
reasons to use him.
Yeah, but it just wasn't working.
He wasn't technical enough.
He had his own awful game show with James Corden.
Yeah, that was great. Let me tell you, that was great.
Okay, you could say that his projects weren't great when he was on them, but my God, was he getting work. Like, he was everywhere.
He was getting work, just he failed.
He wasn't.
Who was the guy
for the Bears? Hampton that was in WrestleMania? It was Hampton and another guy?
The Fridge was in that one.
Mongo McMichael was on.
Oh, Mongo McMichael. There's a stirring in my drawers. He was technical.
He's aroused by a technical wrestler.
Who's the most technical wrestler now, Joe Murray?
Right now, today? Ooh.
Is there anyone who's technical? Have they taken that?
Like Kurt Angle was like, you know, an Olympic hero.
He's a real wrestler, yeah.
But he's no Bruno Sammartino. The greatest of all technical wrestlers.
Yeah, but who is?
He was not the Bushwhacks or whatever the hell their names were.
Bushwhackers?
The Bushwhackers.
Yeah.
They played inbreds.
What?
That was what their gimmick was, right? They were inbred.
They would lick each other's heads.
Yeah, they were like supposed to be inbred. They were like country people. They were hill people.
They were definitely not smart.
Yeah, I wasn't. Their gimmick was that they were inbred.
was that they, their aunt was their mom, and
yeah.
Is that what you're saying? Okay.
But well, then now, off the out of the ring, they would, oh, yes, the Bushwhackers. We tried many things, but it appealed to the commoners.
Sometimes I really think I missed out not watching wrestling. When I hear about the woman who gives birth to the hand and
WWE Network, baby.
I remember where I was when that happened.
Where the woman gave birth to the hand?
My friend, my best friend was working at this crap ad agency, and there was a guy who was obsessed with wrestling, and my friend started going over there during Monday Night Raw to, like, watch it and drink, and I always made fun of him. And then he started telling me that it wasn't the Fabulous Moolah, because she was there.
No, it was Mae Young giving birth to Mark Henry, world's strongest man.
So Mark Henry's this, like, giant young black guy, and Mae Young is ancient. And so they start, like, having sex. Like, it's, yes. The big thing is they're having sex.
She was 77 at the time.
Yes, and Rich, this isn't all in the ring. I mean, at this point in the WWE, a lot of stuff's out of the ring. Like, there's, sure. Like, pre-shot stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So they're banging, like, he's all over, like, grabbing her ass, right? Am I right or am I wrong?
Yes,
like,
oh, yeah.
Like, he's grabbing her ass. Like, they're very physical. And so the payoff of, like, some big thing was, and so I went over to the guy's house, and I'm like, I gotta see this. And she's in labor, and Fabulous Moolah, I believe, was there. I could be wrong, but I imagine she was there. And they're running around, and she's pushing it, and all of a sudden, all this blood and guts come out. And John Henry picks up a hand, and she had given birth to a hand. But I don't remember the reason why.
Well, yeah, they're having birth.
No, I know she, I'm but tweeting. How do you give birth to just a human, like a big hand?
I'm tweeting it out now. Yes, I mean,
was there an explanation? Was it like an adult hand?
They had like a. Yes. They thought they were like, you know.
And like he got mad at her for some reason. Like someone had lost a hand in her. Or something.
How dare you find an adult hand in your stomach?
Yeah,
a severed adult hand in your
happens.
Stomach, and you carry it full term. I mean, that's got to be disappointing when you find out that there's a gigantic man hand that's been growing in your stomach for 9 months.
Especially
what the
since
hell were they thinking? Like, that's got to be the best. You know what? They're probably saying, "All right, what happens with the birth?" And someone just went, "A hand." And
yeah. Like, well, in. I think they were in a bit of a problem at that point because how do you pay it off? It's like when the molester guy Herbert started like had a sleepover with Chris. I remember we had the guy who did the voice of Herbert on our show, on Family Guy, and we were like, well, at that point, you can't, I mean, what, are you going to pay it off? That's gross. I mean, that's horrible.
Right.
And so I think that they kind of were like, when they're brainstorming, like, well, what can come out of her? And it's not like you can have something
a man's
like,
hand.
Yeah, it's not like you can have something like super gross or like, I mean, she's 77. I mean, you can't defy the laws of, you know. Being human. So, like, what are you going to do? Like, have E.T. come out or something? So
I mean, they could have done like Will Ferrell in that SNL skit, had a grown man come out. Like,
I don't think they had the special effects budget for that.
Then there would have been the baby wrestler. You know, it would have been the man baby. That could have been his whole shtick.
Perhaps the Haitian kid came out and then...
Hey, Sex Ferguson sent us a video way back when. I don't know if you know who Sex Ferguson is.
No.
It's Luke Gallows is his WWE name, but sent us a video.
Sex Ferguson is his real name?
Sent us at Rich, myself, and Wallach when you were gone.
He
did a promo as Sex Ferguson. I'd never heard of Sex Ferguson before.
Well, Sex Ferguson was actually abstinent, and it drove him mad. That's why he was so good in the ring. Because he was so preoccupied by sex, but yet was unable. He was a eunuch.
That just sounds like an 80s movie, like a romp film that was like at a double feature with like Tomboy or Screwball Sex.
I'm still trying to figure out the hand thing. I remember it was 2000.
Yeah.
I just remember they had like a relationship.
I was in Atlanta and I remember the guy's house I went to, Will Trotter's house. I went to Will Trotter's house, who I just had called a loser, so I apologize. And so I went, I said the agency was a loser. Whoops. And so I went over to the guy's house, and they were sitting around, and sure enough, Mae Young gave birth to a hand.
I mean, like, Mae Young's hand is more remembered than what Gronk did off the football field. We'll remember the hand more than what Gronk did.
Here we go, here we go.
Come on, Nate, you're doing fine. Push.
Oh!
she cheers? Hang on, what happened? Like, she started cheering?
I don't know if there was much of a fallout after the hand.
So I guess the hand was a popular sex toy in the 70s and 80s.
What?
And
no.
I guess that was like one of the ideas. Yeah. I've been reading through it.
I don't know. It was just, they were like, let's just do something weird.
No, I don't think
the hand.
You're reading
too far into it. Yeah.
I saw it on a Reddit. I'm reading Reddit. That's where it came from.
Yeah, I'm saying that the person on Reddit, I mean, if they were going to do a sex toy, they could have done a lot more obvious than a hand.
Mark Henry was sexual chocolate.
Well, that was the whole thing, is that Mark Henry had so much sexual, he was such a bastion of sexuality that, you know, him being with a 77-year-old woman, that he could even get her pregnant, defying the laws of evolution. But what do you know? All right, we got to one game.
When we get back, though, the hands-down best trolling job that a network did to one of the teams yesterday. Like, I mean, I want to buy this guy a drink. This is one of the all-time great. You didn't realize it happened until about 5 seconds after it was done, and then you had to rewind it and go, is that what really happened?
Yes, I know what you're talking about. All right, and he deserves it. We will have that for you in just a moment.
This is the home of the game.
Patriots!
And these guys, Toucher and Rich, on Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Around the NFL.
He's right his hands.
In 15 minutes.
You play to win the game.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. What's going on, Rich?
Sam Darnold or Joe Flacco, doesn't matter. The Jets are trash.
Here comes the pressure again, and that pass is picked off. Or did Howard hang on? He did. All he does is pick off passes. Xavier Howard with his NFL-leading fourth interception of the season.
Oh, the Dolphins pitch a shutout, 24-0 over the Jets. But the best part of yesterday's game wasn't even on the field. It was the ultimate troll job the network people did on Adam Gase when throwing it to commercial. As heard here, when they closed up on his face, notice the song.
Defense has been a tough watch today. Only 107 yards, and they trail 21-0.
That song? These eyes by the Guess Who. And they closed up on his goofy-ass eyes that Adam Gase has and just let that roll. God bless the people over at CBS who were carrying that.
Well, they were probably just furious that they had the game. now there is like Keyshawn Johnson and Bart Scott, these guys are saying that the Jets should keep Darnold, even if they get the first number one overall pick, and build around him in the draft. No.
What?
That's the most... They wore Jet uniforms, so to raise their brains. No, you draft Trevor Lawrence. They have absolutely no intention of winning a game. None. And I think that's part of the reason. I know Darnold could play and wants to play. I think they're very smart for keeping him out. And I also think they're keeping him out until they get everyone healthy, and they're going to let him play like the last four games of the season once they are assured they're going to have the number one pick in the draft and that to showcase him, hopefully eke out a couple wins, then trade him. What I think is going to happen is they're going to get the number one pick in the draft. I really hope Trevor Lawrence doesn't say he's going back to school or pull an Elway or a Manning. I know, he's insane.
52 in the first half.
He's amazing. He's and unreal. That's against a Georgia Tech team.
That was good. They beat Louisville the week before.
And they beat Florida State.
That's right. Who beat North Carolina.
So, well, what's great, too, Fred, about this Jets team is that was all done on the heels of self-proclaimed badass defensive coordinator Greg Williams throwing his own coach under the bus earlier this week when he said this.
You guys are allowing 32.2 points per game. How shocking is it to hear that number?
It's not a very, very good number, and a lot of it's not all defensively, but, it's not a very good number.
and it's points on the board. We've got to do a good job with that, and how you do that is make them kick more field goals. Got to do a better job in field position. As you see, the scoring's up in the league, but it still makes me sick.
When you say it's not all a defensive thing, what are you referring to?
Yeah, you just have to figure it out.
Oh, man.
Apparently, CBS played that clip for Gaze before the game, and Gaze said, that's not what we need. Everyone needs to shut up and play. I mean, listen, I'm not going to knock the statement itself, but the fact that, I mean, you've got him just pushing him out the door. Like, Greg Williams wants that job. He's got to be, I mean, just backstabber central here. Get him out of here. Oh, God. Gaze just, and at this point, Fred, if they have not fired him, they're going to keep him to the end of the year, aren't they?
Oh, you got to pray.
Yeah.
By the way, they wanted Vance Joseph very badly to be the defensive coordinator and settled on Greg Williams. So this is a team whose general manager didn't want their head coach, whose head coach didn't want their defensive coordinator, and whose defensive coordinator is a raving lunatic.
Who did they want?
Coach Vance Joseph.
Yeah, they wanted Vance Joseph.
Having the time of his life.
Yeah, and Vance Joseph said, no, thank you. No, I don't want to play for you, Adam Gase. You're an
having the time of his life.
So trade Darnold to Pittsburgh, get their first-round pick. Then you'll have three first-round picks in this draft. Take Trevor Lawrence with one.
I don't know, man. Trevor, if I'm Trevor Lawrence, I play hard ball, man. I don't. Do you want to go there?
There's only so much he can do. I mean, he can't ask for more money.
I think he might be the best prospect. And I was going to say Peyton Manning. I'm trying to think of who.
No,
Andrew Luck. I mean, Andrew Luck.
Andrew Luck, yep.
Yeah. Yeah, because Elway, Manning, Luck, Lawrence.
Yeah, this kid can play. He can move, you know.
Well, if the Jets go, the Jets can say, the one thing the Jets have is they can say we're in New York. And then so they can go, we're in New York. And they can go, we have Eric Bieniemy. And this is, we have Bieniemy. Here's the thing. You know, we have a left tackle. And then, you know,
I wonder if Dabo would be interested.
Ooh.
That's actually an interesting. How long is this contract?
I like that.
I mean, these guys.
It doesn't matter.
He's making zillions of dollars with Clemson, though.
I mean, he would be stupid to leave to go to the Jets.
Well, I don't know.
But if he's successful with Lawrence. I mean, what else does he have to prove in college, to be honest?
Well, that's what these guys do.
Why Saban's staying, because he doesn't want to go back to the NFL.
But he tried and failed. And so they want to try. They want to do it. They want that challenge. Ooh, I like that. That's the first I've heard of that. I like the way your mind works. Is Sweeney going to
Dabo and Lawrence.
Well, they'd hire Dabo. It would be like a Fab Five situation where they took Jalen Rose's coach in high school. To go coach on the Michigan staff. Yeah, they'd do that.
Yeah.
Why not?
That'd be awesome. That would shock everyone. Sounds like it'd be a good decision. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he would leave because he's making $1 zillion with Clemson, and obviously it's a little bit of a cushier job than working for the Jets with that media.
Plus, he's like in the ACC and there's zero
coverage. Well, all college jobs are cushier than NFL jobs. I mean, ask Steve Spurrier when he just said, I'm not going to stay in my office all night, and they said, okay, well, you're not going to win. Basically, Trevor Lawrence would be going to a situation where they would be very, very, very flexible to do what he wanted.
Bieniemy would hurt. It would help, rather. If they got Eric Bieniemy in there, if you're Lawrence, that would help you feel a little
bit
better.
Three first-round picks this year, two first-round picks next year. They're trading everyone off this team. I mean, I think there's one guy in this team they want. And that there might be two because Mims hasn't played yet, I think that they want Becton, and that's it. Becton could have been rookie of the year if he didn't get hurt. According to all the people, I don't know how the hell good he is, but there you go.
Well, have a week, Derrick Henry.
Give it to Henry, looking for some room, finds it. 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 45, 40, 35, 30, 25, 40, 15, 10, 5, end zone. Ladies and gentlemen, 94 yards. Touchdown, Titans! He is the baddest man in the NFL!
And you know what I say to that?
And there ain't no flag!
The Titans, they have been unreal. Hell-bent for destruction since the breakout of COVID at their facility. Last week, they embarrassed the Bills. This week, they are down by 7 with just a minute to go, and they did this.
It's the King Cat, Henry, running to the left, into the end zone. Touchdown, Titans! Victory.
Okay, that wasn't the catch at the end of regulation, but that's the winning one, which still ruled.
Oh, I mean, the catch in regulation, I was freaking out because I didn't know if he was in bounds.
Well, that was one of those where it's because they called it a touchdown that there just wasn't enough evidence to overturn it. Whether or not he got his left foot back in or his knee was down in the out of bounds. But, I mean, that team has balls. Yeah. Game went to overtime. The Titans won it. They're 5-0 for the first time since 2008. There was a play. I don't know if you saw this, but Vrabel's pretty damn smart. He's outsmarted Belichick before, as we know, last year. But there was a play where, what was the situation? He left in a guy and had 12 men on the field on purpose so it would stop the clock and not run off 40 seconds so they would have more time to get the ball back near the end of the game. I mean, it was brilliant. There was a guy who
they were heading into the red zone, too. And they stopped him on a... Was it third down?
It was second and one. So Vrabel's like, they're going to get a first down more than likely anyway. It's second and one right now. So he left his guy on the field, and you could see the dude from the Titans looking at Vrabel like, we got 12 men on the field. And Vrabel just nods and says, like, dude, it's cool to stay. And they end up calling too many men on the field, but it stopped the clock.
Yep.
And, they needed every second of it. Yeah, they ended up tying that game with 4 seconds left.
I was going to say 4 seconds. And they were going to spike the ball. And then they just threw it right up to... what's his name there? The kid who was drafted after N'Keal Harry.
Oh, yeah. I know you're talking about.
Receiver there.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
But that team just looks
Brown,
awesome. I love Vrabel as a coach.
Well,
he's a ballsy coach. Maybe the key is you don't coach under Bill Belichick, but you play under him.
Mm.
And that's what actually makes you successful.
Well, the highlight we played from Tampa was also a touchdown catch from a receiver that got drafted after N'Keal Harry.
I mean, it's happening all over the league.
It's really bad. I want to give Harry a pass for yesterday because
why?
He got 2 targets, dude.
What about him? Okay, I'll ask
you. He was wide open on the last play of the game.
I ask everyone this, and I'll ask you. What about him do you like?
All right. It's going back more to college.
No, that's fine.
You
know? That's a good question.
Because he's not the best prospect out of his college.
I've said this in college. Manny Wilkins would just throw the ball up. He'd go get it. Here he can't run routes. He's a guy that you have to like make plays for him. I don't think he's a system.
So what you're saying runner. Is you like his size.
You would think he has size and you don't see it on the field.
So I would just raid guys' college basketball teams and then say I hope that you can jump.
What I would do with N'Keal Harry is since Edelman is wearing down, I would move Harry inside so he can move around the middle of the field more. They don't have a tight end. Might as well get him in the middle.
You think he has the intelligence to find holes in defense?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know that quick. But I think if he's in the middle of the field, at least he's a top. They're trying to throw to somebody in the middle, right?
Yeah, let's see if
he's becoming tougher and tougher to defend every, not defend like for teams, to defend that he's any good and he's not a bust every single week.
Well,
the catch from, what's his name, the Stidham, that was a nice catch from him. A good throw, good catch.
It was a much better pass than it was a catch. But yes, he did catch a ball in the end zone as a professional receiver.
Yeah.
First rounder, Joe, is that what you're going to do? Is that your standard, one catch? Is that your standard?
Unfortunately.
It's not good.
I'm going to admit it. It's not good.
I just like the idea that a guy caught a ball in the end zone. He's a receiver.
And like Aaron Rodgers is all upset about them not taking receivers, yet he... Like yesterday showed why the Packers were bad yesterday. He wasn't good either.
If you can find it during the break, he had Felger and Maz played it. He had a press conference moment about playing Tom Brady. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is really just a bad person, like just a prick, like such a giant prick. Not in a cute football Belichick way, and not in like a funny way. He's just an ass. Like, he's got something wrong with him. I hate
him. See him dancing yesterday?
Yeah, and then what happened after that?
I didn't see him dance.
They got throttled after that.
It was the McKringleberry, I think, was what it was. The little dance.
Is it Dingleberry, more like it? Is what I say.
Thank you, Larry Flint.
Yeah. He's a whole lot of mud. He's a hypocrite. All right, so we'll be back. Here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Conventional sports radio show.
It's become painfully clear.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Fourth and 10, shotgun snap. Broncos setting a blitz. A throw by Newton to the right. Incomplete with Harry, who was open at the 10-yard line. The ball sailed to the outside as Harry turned to the inside. And the Broncos are going to come away with their second straight win and their first victory here at Gillette since 2006.
Oh, without a doubt. But yet, you know, we're still professionals. You know, we're expected to do our job and play at a high level, and we didn't do that. Anytime you turn the ball over that many times, you know, the success rate is extremely low. But yet, we still had an opportunity to win, and we just got to find ways to do that.
Five, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Town Fair Tire Studios. And if you're going to cry about something we say, we ask you to cry in the air. It makes it more enjoyable for everyone. Give us a call, 617-779-0985. Okay, so the Patriots yesterday, and again, I'll tell you this, Patriots fans, and some people appreciate this and some don't, but I do it out of, I'm actually doing this, not to be mean, it's true, and Joe, based on your questions that you were raising off the air, I think that even if you don't know it subliminally, you're getting ready for it. This is what mediocrity is like. This is what being mediocre is like. Going into a game like that Denver game, which you're even more mediocre than I thought you'd be. I mean, I thought there was no way they lose that game. I mean, that's, you know, I know there's no crowd, which, by the way, why there is, this is not a question that has to be asked now, but there's crowds in Philadelphia and crowds in Pittsburgh. I don't know why there's not a crowd at Gillette. But, I mean, you know, Pennsylvania is not considered some backwoods outlier. I mean, they, I thought, were fine, but I maybe I'm wrong. But I mean, having Denver come in, and Denver was the team that wasn't certain, and Denver, you know, they were the ones who had to get on the plane, and they were the ones who had to do all this. And for them to come down and completely stifle your offense is really something else. And, you know, this is a team that's not going to win this division. This is a team that's whose head coach, we're all mystified by it.
We still don't know if they're not going to win this division, because the Bills, when they play, you know, good competition, we've seen what happens last week.
Well, I've seen when the Patriots play good competition when they play bad competition.
It's true. I mean, yesterday was, you know, there's things when you look at yesterday's game where you have to figure out, okay, what's really a problem and what is, this is an outlier. And this is something that, you know, is not anything to worry about. Like things like the running game yesterday being awful. I don't think that was a huge issue, because that offensive line was a bunch of guys that nobody knew. They're all playing the wrong position.
I will tell you this though. If you can't run, if you don't pass, I mean, if they're not going to be able to.
That's a real problem. You see, that now you're talking what I'm thinking of. There's problems. There's fake, not fake problems, but ones you shouldn't worry about. And then there's real issues, and that is the passing game is an issue, because your two guys who were supposed to be your studs, Julian Edelman, is obviously playing hurt. His knee thing is messed up, and he looks like he's playing with no confidence right now. And then on the other side is N'Keal Harry, and N'Keal Harry got targeted twice yesterday. He got out-muscled on that interception, and that's kind of been his MO. ever since they got the guy. And how much time do you need with him until you realize maybe this is just who he is? So, like, that's an issue. And then on the other side of it with the passing, Cam's arm might actually start to be an issue. Like, I'm watching him now, and the way that at the beginning of the game they started off with just running play after running play after running play, he never threw it deep down the field. He was throwing it short a little bit. This is the first game that I looked at him and I went, maybe there's something to his arm not being 100% healthy. That is a real issue. That's something you could take away from yesterday's game, that the passing game is just not adequate enough to do anything.
All right. Well, let me get down my litany of things, and you guys feel free to add on, and then we can debate them. Is that, first of all, your offense sucks, and it's not going to get any better. Second of all, I don't know where Belichick is in coaching. I've heard from Ted Johnson saying, who played for him and would know, saying, well, Bill Belichick is just doing things to win football games and to give himself an advantage. He didn't want to play the weekend before this last one because he knew he wasn't going to have Cam and Stephon Gilmore. Then you have other people saying, well, Bill's this he's this heartfelt guy, and he listened to the McCourties, he listened to James White, and he's just all about protecting the players. But then you heard Bill after the game bitch about not having time to practice, but Bill decided not to practice on that Wednesday, even though the league would have allowed him to do so.
So it would have been an off week.
But he could have practiced that Wednesday, even with the bye week. It wouldn't be against the regulations, the NFL regulations. So don't bitch about not. I wouldn't even bring it up if it wasn't for the fact that he brought it up. He brought it up after the game. So if he's going to bitch about it, well, then he's complicit in it.
See, I think that was more him being bitter at the league.
There's nothing to think about. He bitched about them not being together. He said those words. And it's a fact that he could have had them be together on Wednesday.
But so, he felt that it wasn't safe and that they had set it up then, to where it wasn't
then
safe.
Then don't bitch about, well, set it up that it wasn't safe. They could have played. They could have practiced. He could have. It was set up in a way that they could have done it. They could have played last week. But we all agreed that they went to the league and said, we don't want to play. We don't feel safe. Well, you walked yourself into a loss. And I think we all agree that they would have had a better chance of winning, even without Cam Newton, if they would have played last weekend.
No. I don't agree with that. You always have a better chance of winning if you have Cam Newton and Stephon Gilmore.
So I agree with that. I still think that they – I'm telling you, man, this offense right now, I've been saying it for weeks, it's not fun to watch. Listen, I don't want to give the Patriots an excuse because other teams are dealing with this too. Just like 2020, man, it's affecting all of us differently. It affected the Patriots yesterday. It got them.
They should all go to rehab.
I don't mean that, but they faced adversity yesterday. They couldn't get over it, man. They lost to a team they should have beat. They beat themselves. Dude, they got outcoached. Like, they made terrible decisions on the field. Like, this, everything hit them yesterday, man. And I don't want to give them a pass whatsoever. But when I look at the offense, how does this get better? I mean, Rex Burkhead's been a big part of the team this year. We just talked about the receiving game. No targets. How is that guy not involved in the I think it's coachable. I think they can be better. But we talked about the trade deadline and things like that. I don't know if there's one thing that makes this team better.
All right, so anyway.
A receiver. You need talent at receiver.
Well, I don't know how you're going to get it.
Somebody effective. I don't know. I don't know either. But, I mean, it's right now, they're a disaster. I mean, between Edelman and N'Keal Harry, they are a disaster.
And whose fault is that? It's Belichick's. Yeah. It's the drafting. It's all come to head, man.
So I don't know where this team is. I don't know where the leadership is. I don't know if Bill's this caring guy who's very concerned about their health, or if he thought he had a better chance to win this weekend than last weekend. That was a huge miscalculation. So, this team is now being run like every other team in the league.
Why do you think it was a miscalculation for them not to play last week?
Because which I had said all last week is that I think they made their statement and they made it too early, and now if something really does come up, they're screwed.
The team was going to revolt.
That's what I'm saying, and then Bill acquiesced to that.
Bill had their back.
Yeah, okay, so he makes them play. Then how does that make them?
Well, I don't know. Maybe they lose.
he canceled the
Okay, but if he makes them play, then Bill straight up says, I chose the league over you. How does that look?
No, it shows that Bill doesn't care about the safety of his players. And
right.
He had to get
behind.
Wait, whoa.
He doesn't care about the safety of his players. I don't buy that. I don't think that's the case.
Because the whole reason that they didn't play last week is because the players said they were going, or at least it was reported, that they were borderline about to revolt. So if Bill Belichick, and the reason they were going to revolt because they didn't feel safe. So you're telling me that it would have been a good move for Bill Belichick to go ahead and force it anyway and say, you know what? I don't care about what you think about your own safety and your health. We're going to play this anyway.
I think that Bill, if he should have navigated it to sit down with the players and tell them the league's having us play this game and that we're going to play it.
And then they say, okay, we're going to revolt.
Okay, so you think they're not going to play?
Well, I mean, they didn't play.
No. Do you think if Bill said we're playing the game, the players would have said we're not going to show up on Sunday?
I mean, that was what the reports were, is that they were on the edge
of
doing
that. Would have done that?
I don't know. I actually don't know. But I know that the threat was there, and if they did play, then Bill would have lost some people in that locker room. And he needs them right now.
To do what?
What do you mean? To do...
To do what?
What does he need the players to do? Yes. Or to play hard for him.
Okay,
that's what every coach wants.
Well, he miscalculated because they didn't.
And I also think that if you're not even going to look at the health issue, and let's say Belichick is just completely cold and he's right now just wanted to be have a better product on the field, I'd still say it was a better idea for them to not play last weekend, because I always will take your chances on having Cam Newton and Stephon Gilmore than not having Cam Newton and Stephon Gilmore.
He let the players cry. The players started crying. And Joe, you agree it affected them yesterday.
I think everything affected them yesterday. Oh, and listen, it's not an excuse. Other teams have done it. Other teams are dealing with this. They lost a game to a team they should have beaten, but it was bad. They beat themselves. They made calculated errors, and the adversity got to them. And they're on the sidelines wearing masks. Like, it was, that stood out there. Like that. We talked about this in post game yesterday. Like, that was something that I think was literally in their head yesterday.
I don't think that there's. I mean, yeah, it didn't work. The whatever is going on inside that organization.
But at least Bill still has the respect of the team.
Well, good. Yeah.
So they may have lost, but at least they still got the respect of the team.
And listen, things can be fixed here on the football field. The problem here is that they're just not good enough. They're not. They don't have enough talent here. They're facing adversity right now, and I don't think they have personnel to be better. I just don't.
And I agree with that. And it's mostly, as I said, it's the wide receivers. The defense is fine. You know what?
The defense
is good enough to
win. This defense gave up zero touchdowns.
Yep. They're good enough to win. And listen, I'm not going to give them all the praise in the world. I mean, they did get beat, even if it was field goals, by a really bad Denver team. But they've been good enough to win. They were impressive against Kansas City. They've been impressive most of the season. But... They got no answers right
every
now with the wide receivers.
You make all the excuses you want and how much the team really loves Bill and how he's a super great guy. They couldn't have played worse yesterday.
They couldn't have.
And so whatever happened didn't work.
And just on that defense, they made two interceptions to give them a chance to win the game. Yep. Cam Newton had the ball in his hands to win the game.
Right.
And they didn't.
Right. And they would have been just as safe playing the game last weekend as they would have been playing the
game.
Like,
that's what's more frustrating to me.
Once again, just as a strategy, any day of the week, I would take a team with Cam Newton and Stephon Gilmore than one without Stephon Gilmore and Jarrett Stidham.
I'll ask you this. Do you think it would have been more dangerous to play last weekend than this weekend?
I think you could have lost a lot of the locker room.
No. Do you think it would have been more dangerous from a health perspective?
Ooh.
More dangerous? Yeah, because it was still fresher from when they traveled. Yes.
I think it lingered into their brain. Like,
No. Dangerous in terms of further health. Do you think it would have been more dangerous?
COVID?
Maybe, yes, getting COVID.
Maybe
getting
for COVID
is a simple thing. No. For the Patriots, do you think guys, Jesus Christ, it's a yes or no question. Would they have been more likely to get COVID last weekend than this weekend?
Yes.
Yes.
Yep. Okay, now why is that?
Because there was more infections last week.
Yeah. But then what about all the infections and the people on the COVID list this week that they added?
Listen, they're both bad.
But you can't definitively say
you can, because they were able to. The way that they're doing it, Fred, is they're taking a look at each player and they're trying to figure out the relationship to how close they were to each individual one. That's the reason why some players can get on the COVID list and they can just remove, and then some they actually have to shut down and move the game.
I will make the argument last week was more of a case where these guys were more related
in what positions that they played and how close they were.
Make the argument that they added people to the COVID list Sunday morning. Yesterday, and I can make that argument and say that they added guys yesterday. So, I mean, nothing they did worked. We'll have Bob Soucy, plus we can take your calls, 617-779-0985. What was a big round of applause for what a wonderful guy Bill Belichick was, came and bit them all in the ass, and the proof was in the pudding on the field yesterday. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.